As we continue our studies in 1 Kings 19 and the life of Elijah, we now come to verses 15 through 21, the restoration of the prophet. God has dealt with Elijah in gentleness and in grace, and now he's about to restore the prophet. We see the restoration of Elijah. Beginning in verses 13 and 14 of 1 Kings 19, we see God ask the question once again. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." These verses tell us Elijah has asked that question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? And his response is the same old answer, the same old excuse. And notice, God's question is in the present tense. God's question is in the present tense, and Elijah's answer is in the past tense. It doesn't matter what you've done for the Lord in the past. The question before us today is this: what are you doing today? Not what you've done in the past, but what are you doing today? Where are you with the Lord today? God asks in the present tense, "What are you doing here?" And Elijah repeats what he's done in the past. He's living in the past. "I've been zealous for you. They've forsaken your covenant. They've done this. They've done that. I alone am left. They seek to take my life." Living in the past. It doesn't matter what you've done for the Lord in the past. And this time, God has dealt with Elijah in gentleness and in grace, speaking to him in a still small voice. And this time, God sets the prophet straight and tells him how things really are. God speaks in a small voice. He speaks to us gently. He speaks to us in grace. When we don't hear that, he picks it up a little bit. He speaks a little louder. He becomes a little bit more forceful. God in our text sets the prophet straight and tells him how things really are. God has a threefold plan for getting Elijah back in track. And let us consider the plan that God has to get Elijah back on track, to get Elijah to stop living in the past. In verses 15 through 17, we see a new commission for Elijah. A new commission for Elijah, starting in verse 15 of 1 Kings 19. "Then the Lord said to him, 'Go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Abel-Mahalo, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill.'" God has a new commission for Elijah. Elijah is told to return to Israel through Syria. There he is to anoint two kings and a prophet. He's given an important assignment from the Lord, and he's given evidence that the Lord is not finished with his life yet, nor is he finished with your life, nor is he finished with my life yet. Surely, this has to be an encouragement to the man of God. Elijah had ran. He was hiding from Jezebel. He asked the Lord to kill him. He wanted to die. And now here the Lord issues a new commission for him, an encouragement to the man of God. It would do those who have wandered off the Lord's path good. that they were to come before him this morning, confessing that they have sinned and ask him for a new assignment. The Lord is faithful. He will forgive you. He'll use you again like Elijah. You might not ever be what you were before, but you can still be a blessing to the kingdom of God. If you're wallowing in the pit of depression, why not bring that to the Lord and ask him to use you again for his glory? He still has plans for your life, or else you would already be in heaven. The journey is not ended for you. It's not all over for you, brother. It's not all over yet for your sister. Come home today. Come home and receive a new commission today. Don't worry about what you've done in the past. Where are you today? What are you doing today? In verse 18 of 1 Kings 19, we see God comforting. Verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Twice Elijah had complained that he was all alone in his devotion to the Lord, as we saw in verses 10 and 14 of 1 Kings 19. However, God tells them that there's 7,000 others who have not worshipped Baal. Not only does God give Elijah a new commission, but he brings him new comfort. Elijah is not alone. You are not alone. 7,000 have not worshipped Baal. There are others that will stand with Elijah. There are others that will stand for the church today. Elijah is given hope. He's given encouragement. And I would remind you, brother or sister, you are not alone either today. Whether it's disappointment, whether it's discouragement, whether it's depression, whether it's sin, whether there's anything else that you wish to name, others have been through it and are going through it as well. Even if no human comfort can be found, the Lord knows what you are going through and is ever present to help you through any crisis that you may face in life. Let us not forget to turn to Him for the help that we need. Look at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Remember that scripture and remember it well. To be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us turn to the Lord for the help that we need. We see that the prophet receives a new commission. We see that the prophet receives new comfort. And in verses 19 through 21 of 1 Kings 19, we see not only a new commission, a new comfort, but also the Lord blesses Elijah with a new companion. Starting at verse 19, so he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Zaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and he followed Elijah and became his servant. Became his servant, or some translations have it, that he ministered unto him. When Elijah went into the wilderness, if you remember at the beginning of 1 Kings 19, in verse 3 it says, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he had left his servant there. Elijah had left his servant in Beersheba. He was now all alone. God knew that this was not good, and he gave him a man named Elisha. Elisha was to be a companion to Elijah and would take Elijah's place when his ministry ended. I like to conclude in words of chapter 19 of 1 Kings, and ministered unto him, or became his servant. God knew the burdens that Elijah carried were too heavy for him to bear alone. God knows the burdens that you are carrying. So God had given Elijah a confidant, a friend, a peer. He gave him one to walk beside him through the valleys and through the afflictions. Notice that God told Elijah to meet three people. We see in verses 15 and 16. He was going to meet three people. And notice also that Elijah is the first that Elijah meets. God puts the man into the prophet's life to help him along the way. Why would that be? Because we all need that kind of personal ministry from time to time. In Proverbs 27:17, we read that iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Basically, we do not need to cut ourselves off from other people. We need friends and companions as we go through this life. What a blessing to have someone to confide in, to have a friend who hurts with you, who will help you bear life's loads, who will pray with you, who will cry with you. And even when they do not understand you, they will still love you. Oh, to have brethren like that, to have friends like that, that even though when they don't understand you yet, they will still love you. Certainly, certainly, we have that kind of ministry in the person of the Holy Spirit. We read in John 14, verses 16 through 18, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." What a beautiful promise from our Lord, that he would not leave us as orphans, but one would come to us. In John 16, look at verses 7 through 15. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, and if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. But he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." What a blessing to not be left alone. The power of the Holy Spirit ministering to us, the person of the Holy Spirit. However, as glorious as that promise is, that he wouldn't leave us alone, he wouldn't leave us as orphans, he would send another. However beautiful that is, we still all need human interaction. It's just not to be you and God alone in your house all by yourself. God will bring friends into your life, brethren into your life. We need human interaction. Let us resolve to ask God to put someone into our life who will help us be accountable to the Lord in all that we do as we go through life. Imagine the ministry that Elijah had in the life of Elijah. As this chapter in the life of Elijah comes to an end, we find him well on the road to recovery. The prophet is restored. He is back. He's serving God once again. the Lord's ministry in his life has delivered him from the brink of death and of shipwreck. Some of you that are listening today, you need that ministry today. You are on the verge of quitting on the Lord. You're discouraged and you're defeated. Others have wandered off into sin and are living lives that are not pleasing to the Lord. I wonder if he's speaking to your heart today. Is the good God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ saying to you today, what are you doing here? If he has spoken to you, you need to come. If he is saying to you, what are you doing here? You need to come. You need to stop living in the past. You need to learn the lesson that Elijah did. What are you doing here? God would say. Don't answer like Elijah in the past tense. What you've done for the Lord. The question is, what are you doing today? Are you believing God today? Are you trusting God today? Are you walking with God today? Not what you've done in the past, but what are you doing today?